When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Let this be one of those moments. Let this be our time in history so that someday we can tell our children and our grandchildren that we were there, that we changed the course of history for the better. Let us tell them that we helped elect Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan to save America. Thank you.
John Doe speaking at the Republican convention in Tampa last night. John Nichols from the Capital Times joins us. John, good morning.
Hello, good morning. I like the that musical intro there.
I cannot quote the person or the source, but I got pretty good confirmation yesterday that Scott Walker is John Doe.
Well, can I tell you? He isn't the rock star of the Republican Party.
He is not. And it was
that very weird. Yeah, I mean, actually, it sounds better on radio than it did. It is live.
No, those series of speeches were quite boring yesterday.
Well, except for Jeanine Turner from Northern Exposure,
she's pretty hot.
Well, yeah, and you know, she's their constitutional expert. I mean, she's the party that's all obsessed with the Constitution. So who do they bring out to really
explain Turner.
It to them? Yeah, you know, the cute girl from Northern Exposure, and it was one of the more bizarre things. I really recommend to people if you Google nothing else,
Jeanine Turner.
Yeah, because she kind of like stopped all the time and giggled at how great she was. But the fascinating thing about last night. As regards to Scott Walker, one thing, okay, this is how weird Republican conventions are, spent a lot of time with the guy on the floor. We're standing on there talking like nothing happened.
Like you come on my show every day.
I know. And I mean, he's fully aware of stuff, but it's like, you know, the weird reality of the convention is, you know, that you're sort of stuck in places with people who you may not agree with. You can either like ignore them or talk to them.
Well, who has the worst job performance numbers in the country?
But that didn't come through in the speech, though.
Well, wait a minute. Look at the difference between the states led by Republicans and those led by Democrats. Last month, the difference was a full 1 point better in terms of the unemployment in states led by Republicans. We've shown state by state we can turn around the budget deficits we had without raising taxes, and most importantly, do it in a way that small businesses can grow. If we can do that one state after another as Republican governors, there's no doubt another great former Republican governor, Mitt Romney, can do it for America.
He said that on TV last night on Sean Hannity's program. Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he inherited better job numbers than the national average.
He inherited better job numbers than he has now. I mean, that's sort of one of the subtleties of it. The interesting thing is that for Scott, I think we should back up and get the core concept here. He had rock star status at this convention. Mm-hmm. Everybody was thrilled to hear him, and when he was introduced, when he went up on stage, the entire stadium just went crazy. Everybody was up on their feet, and they were applauding in an intense, continued way. But Walker wasn't up for it. He didn't know to surf the applause, embrace it.
You're right, because he was an autopilot. You could have taken that speech that he gave last night, and he gave that speech all over the state of Wisconsin.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay. I think this is the critical thing. He went into campaign mode, not realizing he was in a different setting.
Yeah, here's the rule. When you receive more applause at the beginning of your speech when you're introduced than you do at the end, you fail to deliver.
It was a disaster. And that's what I want to... I can't tell you, people, like, because everybody, you know, everybody in the press and lots of other places know, kind of associates me, for better or worse, with Scott Walker. And so everybody was coming up to me afterwards and saying stuff like, wow, that really fell flat, or, you know, boy, did he lay an egg. And there was this very negative review of it. And the reason was that while some of the writing in the speech was okay, there was some language that was decent, it was very badly delivered. And he sucked the life out of the room by his performance. It was just as if he really didn't rise to it in any sense. And the most bizarre thing for those of us from Wisconsin was that the close of the speech, and I can't emphasize this, if you take the close of his speech and go back into what I'm about to reference, you will know what I'm saying. The close of his speech was almost a direct take from his Koch brothers conversation. Because remember when he was on the phone? He's on the phone with, the Buffalo Beast, who he thinks is one of the Koch brothers, and he's saying, so I gathered my staff together, and I said, this is our moment. Do you go look at the speech? That's what he said. He was quoting the Koch brothers call.
I don't have that. I don't think I have that quote here. Let me see if this is it.
Like many places across the country, Wisconsin lost more than 100,000 jobs from 2008 to 2010.
No, that's not it.
No, it was right. You actually quoted it right before. You actually were playing it. You know, this is our moment. You know,
right?
And you know, we'll. You know, what are we? And the Reagan referencing and stuff. It was all straight out of the Koch brothers call. And I'm sitting there, you know, with a friend of mine, and I'm going like, this is weird. You know, I mean, just about where you would go. So, in general, it did not, it was not a pinnacle performance.
Well, you know, as strange as Rick Santorum is, and while I don't think he appeals to a lot of swing voters, maybe some blue-collar voters, he gave a good speech last night. He delivered it very well. Here's a little of Rick Santorum.
Because I held its hand. I shook the hand of the American dream, and it has a strong grip. I shook the hands of farmers and ranchers who made America the breadbasket of the world, hands weathered and worn and proud of it. I grasped the dirty hands with scars that come from years of labor in the oil and gas fields, mines and mills, hands that power and build America and are stewards of the abundant resources that God has given us. I've gripped hands that work in restaurants and hotels, hospitals, banks and grocery stores, hands that serve and care for all of us.
And as long as they don't raise their hand and vote for the union, he likes him. So, but anyway.
Well, I was just going to say, I couldn't agree with you more, Sly. And if he had been the nominee, right, if Rick Santorum was the nominee and he delivered that speech, because, you know, a lot of the media is trained to disregard Santorum, and frankly, even a lot of the Republican Party is trained to disregard him. But just on core message and on delivery, if he had given that speech as an nominee of the party, people would have said it was one of the better acceptance speeches in recent history.
Well, he was doing something I often try to get Democrats to do. He was appreciating, he was at least acknowledging workers.
And then he linked it in. I mean, I have to say, I may not be with him on the same side of all these issues, but then he linked it in to his own child and to the abortion issue, which happens to be a core issue for his base. And he did it in an incredibly graceful way. I agree with you totally. In fact, the piece I wrote for The Nation for this morning is that aside from Ann Romney telling us that her marriage of 43 years is a real marriage, the only significant thing to come out of yesterday, the first day of the Republican National Convention, was a realization that they did not choose the best speaker as their nominee, because that's obviously Rick Santorum. He'll far better than what Romney will do. And also that he's far better than Chris Christie. But the other thing that is fascinating is the one other person who might have given an interesting speech was not allowed to do so, and this would have been the day to do it. And, of course, that's Ron Paul, who, you know, if you've been at the convention, Sly, the backstory on this convention.
All right, let's talk about that next. All right, stand by. Let's talk about that next. John Nichols from the Capital Times with us on WTDY. 106.7 FM, 1670 AM, WTDY. Sly in the morning. On the live line with us from Florida, John Nichols from the Capital Times. Yeah, so it's my understanding they moved the Minnesota and Iowa delegations yesterday to St. Petersburg. Is that correct?
Oh, no, you cannot believe that. It was let's just say that Reince Priebus is not a subtle man. It's sort of unbelievable. So first off, you go in the hall, and
have you ever seen Reince Priebus and Pee Wee Herman in the same place at the same time?
Absolutely not. You know, although I think that I think that as a parent, I prefer Pee Wee Herman because he's a kind of gives a stronger portrayal of masculinity. But that said, in Reince's speech, by the way, deserves some attention because of the lengthy referencing of Kenosha and the Racine School District in it. I mean, he kind of went on and on about, you know, growing up in Kenosha and his dad working as a union electrician in Racine. So all that said, though, so Reince, the great man of the people, is up there on stage, and they manage the convention in a fascinating way. You know, you come in and you think, why is the Nevada delegation put in the back corner of the convention, even though Nevada is a battleground state? And you realize, oh, I get it, because Nevada has a substantial portion of Ron Paul delegates. Similarly, why are all these other folks, you know, pushed in back corners, like Maine and other delegations? And you understand what they did? They took the Ron Paul people and they put them on the very back fringe of the convention hall so they couldn't yell or be noted. Then, if you can believe this lie, so I go back by those delegations on the floor, they push the seats together so that if you want to get to them, you've got to walk down the narrowest aisle of the entire convention, not even a person wide. So you couldn't move around. They literally kind of block them in a corner. And then on top of all that, the Ron Paul people still get enough signatures and enough support together. They needed five states to petition to place Ron Paul's name in nomination from the floor. It's a traditional party rule, goes back to pretty much the founding of the political parties. They got their petitions. They say to the, you know, RNC staff on the floor, okay, we've got our petitions. We want to file them to nominate from the floor. And this woman says, well, here, I'll be glad to take them and go deliver them for you. And they're like, no, we'd really like to deliver them ourselves. And the woman says, no, you can't. And they says, well, could you have one of the people from the RNC tell us where to go? Can you escort us? No, I can't. And so they were essentially denied the ability to submit their petitions by classic bureaucracy.
What was the upside?
No, you didn't get this. You didn't get the final part slide. The best, there's a punchline here. They finally did communicate that they had sufficient signatures, sufficient states to nominate from the floor, and Reince Priebus changed the rules on the spot to say, oh, you don't need five anymore, you need eight. Is that kid?
What's the upside in them doing all this?
Well, I assume it's you know, the warm embrace they'll get from, you know, young libertarian voters who followed this thing pretty closely.
It was really stupid.
It was really stupid and pointless because I was with the Paul delegates and, you know, they're remarkably reasonable. They're like medical students from the University of Rhode Island. They are people who, you know, clearly are libertarian. They've got some discomfort, but they want to be part of the party and they love following the rules.
Have you talked to Ron Paul?
I have. He said last night that he will not endorse Romney for president. He is not backing Romney.
That could make some difference in some close states, couldn't it?
In a country where you've got, you know, all these battleground states, particularly in the West, where Ron Paul did very, very well, places like Colorado, it's a real problem. And Ron Paul only did a couple of interviews last night. I spoke with him and some other people. But he did do one with Cavuto. And all the same questions, and he came to the same answers, which is, again and again, asked specifically, he is not supporting the ticket. And many of his supporters aren't either. There were delegates who left the convention last night. And this is not a small thing. I mean, people think, you know, they may marginalize us, but Ron Paul got at least 190 votes in the roll call. And this is one of the more bizarre parts of it. When states said, okay, we got 60 votes for Ron Paul, 4 votes for Mitt Romney. That actually happened, you know, because some states, Ron Paul had a real basis. The chair of the convention, when they're doing the roll call, would say 4 votes for Mitt Romney and not mention the Paul votes because Paul's name had not been placed in nomination. And so they never did, they didn't do from the podium a running tabulation of Paul's votes.
John Nichols from the Capital Times with us on WTDY. Have you seen David Koch's picture with Ron Johnson?
Yeah, you know, David Koch is a delegate. Did you know that? He's a delegate
from Kansas?
Not David, I apologize.
Or New
not
York?
David, it's Charles, his brother Charles. Yeah. He is a delegate from New York and is on the floor some. It's sort of like, well, that's interesting.
Huh.
And the fascinating thing is Ron Johnson is very much a presence at the convention. Unfortunately, he looks like every other guy at the convention. And so he walks around and nobody knows who he is.
Well, the reporter from Slate noticed him at that restaurant, at that bistro.
Absolutely. No, it's a very relevant reality. And the Kochs are totally a presence here. Ron Johnson, you know, is definitely... Ron Johnson's very active at this convention. But I have to say he's not getting a lot of respect. Obviously, the hanging out with one of the Kochs is probably worth it all. But one of my favorite scenes was on Monday afternoon. There's a radio row where all the right-wing talk radio folks are. Ron Johnson was walking from, you know, host to host saying, "Hi, I'm the senator from Wisconsin. Would you like to talk about Paul Ryan?"
Yes, and Chuck Willery called him Paul.
Isn't that sort of a tragic thing?
Okay.
Here you're the United States Senator, and you're saying, I can talk about a congressman from my state.
Last night, Brian Ross from ABC did another piece about all the lavish parties.
Oh, they are amazing.
And yeah. It just reminded me of the interview that Brian Ross did with Russ Feingold in Los Angeles. Russ Feingold blew the whistle on Bob Torricelli's behavior and all the soft money parties and how he was sort of persona non grata. What a change from Russ Feingold to Ron Johnson.
So very true. And you know, today is Tommy Thompson's yacht party.
Oh, no. Tommy's having a yacht party?
He's got a great big yacht that they've, you know, very few boats are allowed on the river near the actual convention hall, but they like sailed in this great big yacht and Tommy's have a yacht party.
Boy, you know, not many farmers have an opportunity to have yacht parties.
Well, you know, as Tommy says, he's never happier than when he's on the tractor up in Elroy, but he's going to make do on you know, one of the larger yachts on the coast of Florida.
Is it going to look like the one Rodney Dangerfield used in Caddyshack when he ran over the guy in the rowboat? I'm guessing there'll be some beautiful women on that boat.
Amusingly enough, Tommy Thompson will look like Rodney Dangerfield. They're coming full circle here.
Finally, this morning, Brother Nichols, live in Tampa. I can't remember a Republican convention where there was this much union bashing.
I know, it's historic. Yeah.
Here is the blowhard from New Jersey.
Get ready. Here's what they believe. They believe the educational establishment will always put themselves ahead of children. That self-interest will always trump common sense. They believe in pitting unions against teachers, educators against parents, lobbyists against children. They believe in teachers' unions. We believe in teachers.
Delivered that line, there was some white guy with a crew cut standing up going,
teachers. I still haven't forgiven him for not giving me a C.
That is the dumbest. And then Nikki Haley bragging about being a right-to-work state.
I say that Nikki Haley had the highlight of the night. I just want to say, Nikki Haley got up there and said, you know, we are about to become the tire-making capital of America. And apparently no one had informed her that her state is not a battleground state. But the state of Ohio, where all those tire-making jobs came from, is.
Crystal liked that because Crystal hated Nikki Haley's speech last night.
Well, it was, and then the other thing of, you know, and then I stood there in front of 6,500 non-union employees. I mean, unlike these other people who just don't like unions because they're a political problem for them, I think that Nikki Haley really has nurtured some sort of like twisted hatred of unions. You know, it's like it's something she really despises. And so her speech was just absolutely bizarre in that regard. But you're right, of course, Scott Walker banged on it, Chris Christie. Never in the history of a Republican convention since 1856 have you had this level of union bashing. I don't think they even would have considered this kind of behavior in the past.
Well, it says quite a bit, doesn't it?
Well, let's just say...
Back to David Koch having dinner with Ron Johnson.
Well, yeah. I think the union members might want to consider all this. You know, I mean, when you've got a political party that... Let's just do a quick equivalence here. You know, they are saying that because Barack Obama wants Catholic hospitals to at least provide some, you know, contraceptives and stuff like that, but somehow Barack Obama is the most viciously anti-religious person in the history of the planet. Well, aren't trade unions institutions in America? I mean, I'm not comparing them to churches per se, but, you know, it's a part of the fabric of the country. And you know, isn't it somewhat newsworthy that you have a political party that is now, you know, seemingly bent on destroying them? You know, you get a faked up suggestion that Obama is somehow anti-religious. Wouldn't it be somewhat relevant to look at the actual reality that these people are getting up on stage in the convention of a national party?
Conventions have little to do with reality in America. John Nichols from the Capital Times, thank you for joining us. And please get us a picture of Tommy on that yacht.
Gonna try.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care, man.